everybody. This is Mandy. And have you tried CMOS?
Hi, everyone. This is Ollie. And I've had it up to here with... And this is the Mandy and Ollie podcast.
You search for guys with the most things. Daddy ran away and left your mama with the keys to the Mustang. Yeah, keys to the Mustang.
Mandy, have you tried CMOS? That's the question.
I have.
Oh, really? How was it?
CMOS is best consumed with something else. I would say particularly hot things. I've tried it in some cold mixture stuff, but then I can taste the C still. And I feel like it's best when I just know that it's doing the necessary nourishment, but I can't taste the C. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean because I've never had it. Is it like sandy? Is it earthy? Like, what's the texture? I'm a texture eater.
Okay, so the sea moss that I have has already been put into a gel form. But when it comes out, it looks like tan-colored seaweed, maybe. It looked like seaweed and moss is what it looked like. Mm-hmm. Hence the name. And it tastes of the sea. Is the only it tastes like if you were eating, just licking all up in a seashell. That's the way it tastes.
Okay. You said it's like a gel, like aloe vera. Is that the consistency? Okay. All right.
No.
What would you compare it to? Is it a liquid?
No, it's like a gel. Like, I'm trying to think about gels that are consumable. It's like...
Like styling gel? Unconsumable styling gel?
It's not the consistency of jelly. It's more liquidy than jelly. But it keeps its gel form, I would say, when it's cold.
Okay.
So yeah, let's go with that.
Cool. What made you decide to try it out? I know a lot of celebrities were hopping on it like it was the next big thing.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, for the past couple of months now.
I had no clue. My cousin is a part of a business that sells it. And so I was trying to support her business.
Okay.
And she's been, so that's who I've been seeing ranting and raving about the properties of it. And I was like, as I said, kind of slipping over into the goals, I guess we're here now. I was trying to boost my immune system and get some kind of vitamins or put something in my smoothie or whatever that would improve my health. And so right now, I have the sea moss, and I did put it in a smoothie, but like I said, when I kept it in cold things, I could taste more of the sea flavor in the sea moss. But when I put it in oatmeal and when I put it in my tea, and it's been like, you know, diluted from the hot water while it was mixed with the other things, then I couldn't taste it as much. So.
All right. So... What's going on with one of your... Oh, wait. Before you do that, would you like to promote your cousin's company?
I can totally do that. All so, the company is called 92 Minerals of Gold. And they can be found on Instagram.
Okay. I wonder if that's they a play off of anything. Sorry.
Well, apparently...
Like 92 bottles of beer on the wall, 92 minerals of gold.
CMOS apparently has like 92 of the like essential. Okay, yeah, it says there's 102 nutrients that the body needs for daily function, and CMOS apparently has 92 of those 102.
That's a lot.
That's what they say.
Okay.
But again, I do want to say I wouldn't take this on its own.
Okay.
I've seen someone do it, and they did it to you know, because they was like, oh, if this is as healthy as it says, and you know, I'm gonna just take it. And then they reacted to it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the second time they was like, okay, let me at least take a spoonful of honey afterwards to battle through this. So if you big and bad, you might be able to just do it on its own. But for me, I like to mix it in with something else.
Okay. I will keep that in mind. Was that part of one of your goals? Was to incorporate sea moss into your diet? What's going on with your goals?
I mean, my goals were just to try and find ways to improve my immune system. Mm-hmm. Additionally, I'm in No Spend November.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So
it's only been a few days, but I haven't spent any money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And also, I think I'm still passing my classes.
Hey.
Completing whatever I need to complete for school. So again, my end goal here is to just pass. I don't think I'm as concerned about summa cum laude or any of that rigmarole. So,
okay. Yep.
How are you doing with your goals?
I set some new ones recently. They're pretty big, so I'm going to try to take them gradually and not necessarily obsessed, but stressed over them. And one of them is to find a new job. So I believe my teaching job is just the hours, especially with daylight savings time changing. The hours now start at like 1:30 in the morning, and it's just it's just not, I think, the regular schedule that I need right now. And I'm just trying to tell myself that that's okay. That's okay that right now at present you need a regular schedule, and that a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you were able to, you know, have something that was more flexible that, you know, you could adjust to or just be very flippant with. But at this time and point, I feel like I need something that's a little more stable. So doing that. And I also wrote on my goals that it's time for me to move. So that's also something we talked about, how I get anxiety when thinking about how it's time to move or the packing and everything needs to be going and business stuff, and just the whole process can get overwhelming for me in particular. So yeah, I feel like I just want to kind of leave it to those two. It's just two, but they're really big. So that's my goal list for this episode.
Those are definitely big things. Big decisions to make, but I do agree that like doing things piece by piece
mm-hmm.
will help. Mm-hmm. When listening to the Experts podcast, Tootie, one of the co-hosts, just talked about like how she loves moving because she enjoys like the searching process
mm-hmm.
for an apartment or a house or, you know, whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my ministry, but, and of course I don't think packing is anybody's ministry.
Hello?
But if there are aspects of like moving that you do find interesting, I would say like try and put energy into those. Like if you are someone that likes, oh, I like looking at these features or amenities in a space, or I like making lists to say like what's in a keep or what's a donate or what's a sell or things like that, like as opposed to just letting it all just be a pile of stress. And then of course, making lists just so that you can check stuff off when they're complete. I think that always is helpful to say like, okay, I thought I had 85 million things to do, and now I only have 82 million things to do, but as opposed to all 85.
Hmm. Okay. How are you feeling about that?
How am I feeling about you doing that?
Yeah.
Well,
no, I mean, like, how are you feeling about me possibly moving, possibly closer to where you live in your neighborhood?
Oh, well, see, you didn't say that specifically, so I can put any weight in that. I don't like to count my eggs before they hatch.
Mm. So, well, that's why I put a whole bunch of possibilities mm-hmm. on there.
So I currently am focused on helping you to achieve your goals and not be stressed out about them.
I feel like you wouldn't believe me until I was like, here's my key and I live here now.
I wouldn't say that. But people can have situations where things come up and the plan doesn't go according to plan, or they change their mind.
That's true. And
I just, you know.
And I'm people. That's cool.
I'm very much trying not to, like, I try to say how I feel. Even if I know it'll hurt people's feelings.
Right.
I should be honest. But I also don't want to judge them for their choices. And I think sometimes when you speak how you feel, people feel judgment off rip. So I'm trying to be like, no judgment, but if that were me, I would not. You know, or if that were me, I would do it this way, or blase, blase, blah. But no judgment for your choices, because we often make different choices.
We often do. All right, speaking of choices, are you ready to head into the safe space?
Yes, I can head into the safe space. Does your safe space include choices?
Yeah, like several different choices.
Oh, you have choices for this as a safe space.
No, I meant the topic.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I want to talk about the election that's going on right now. And all the craziness surrounding it, all the hype, all the worry, all the anxiety. I felt like I was a little anxious, and then I wasn't, and then I was checking, and then I wasn't, and then I'm trying to, like, not look at Google alerts, and then I am. So,
I guess I have to change. This is, I'm going to let you finish, but I had some points to talk about in that, in my meat and potatoes. So I'm going to switch my meat and potatoes and my this is a safe space.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Okay. I'm going to let you finish now.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that concern me. One is this Electoral College. I feel like people don't understand or know what the Electoral College is. So that concerns me when people are looking at the numbers, like the popular vote numbers, and thinking that that's going to be the deciding factor. That concerns me that people don't really have a good grasp on the concept of civil... what do you call it? Why don't you want to say civil language? Civil social studies, those kinds of things. So legislation, that's what I'm trying to say. Legislation and why do I keep wanting to say
civics?
Civics, yes. You're a good co-host. Anywho's, I know we talked about it briefly when we had the guest here for that round table. And I believe we talked about it also when our guest Cammy was here, and she was just saying, or maybe you too, somebody that wasn't me, was just emphasizing that, like, yeah, we're taught these things at a super young age, and it's just like a blink of an eye. We never taught them again unless they're our specialty in college. And I just feel like America does Americans a disservice when they do this. I also feel like it's kind of intentional. Like, let's give them a glimpse of this and then point them in a different direction so we continue our tomfoolery for the next three generations. So
what's interesting to me this round, though, is I feel like it's a lot of pressure, especially in swing states, has been put on the Electoral College to really base things off of the popular vote and not what these projection policies are. So typically, and I saw this happening at the beginning of the election night, but typically what happens is they use like a lot of the predictions of how they expect people to vote so that the Electoral College will put their votes in early before all of the votes have been counted. Like, if they're like, oh, it looks like it's going this way, it looks like this is what people have wanted. Based off of what we've seen, this is how folks are going to vote, so that's how it's going to be, blah, blah, blah. But what's been happening over this election cycle is they are vigorously like count every single ballot.
Yeah.
And then once we have the full amount of the popular vote, then the electoral, then the electors can vote. Mm-hmm. In a lot of places. And the reason why I find emphasis on that, because last night, well, when on election night, I was getting very annoyed, and it was very early, but the news outlets were saying, like, already projecting places that had gone to Trump or to Biden, and literally said 0% of votes counted. I'm like, this is how we end up in the situations we end up in. Like, y'all put so much energy and emphasis to vote, but then y'all won't even really count the ballots. And the reality is, with so many, like, other seats being up for grabs, in Congress, being the Senate seats and the representative seats, you have to count the ballots anyways. Like, it's all the same ballot. So if you're going to count the ones for Senate and you're going to count the ones for House, then it doesn't make sense to create projections on things until you've counted, you know, the ballots. You know what I'm saying? So I was getting really annoyed originally when I was watching the election. But what I fortunately saw was one of my favorite drag queens, Bob the Drag Queen, who has a podcast called Sibling Rivalry with Monet Exchange. They did a live stream coverage, and I did that with my hookah and my food, and I was very happy. Like, the happiest I've ever been watching an election night. Because they, you know, just conversed about different things. They brought in fans who were voting in certain swing states. They tried to bring on people who were voting for Trump or were Republican, but nobody really signed on. They gave jokes and commentary, as they always do. Their eyes are funny. And then in between, they also showed, like, different footage of them doing drag performances. So you got so much, like, joy or just, like, entertainment intermixed with all the drama. And the way that they were, like, commentating on the drama, was just, like, exactly what you need to hear, especially for me who lives alone. Like, me talking to myself, it is going to be that nerve-wracking experience of just like, oh my God. But but having someone else, like, kind of have a little bit of that nervous energy, but also just, like, a banter that, like, makes sense to you and brings a smile to your face. You're like, okay, I'm not alone in this. I'm not, like, a crazy person. Or, like, hearing people explain, like, from counties. Like, I know Pennsylvania is very rural. Even though it's in the north, like, I know it's a lot of, like, farmland and stuff like that. You know, the southern countries that are in the south, that's not surprising, but it's still interesting to hear from people who live in those areas where it's like, I'm in a surrounding area where it's like, I live right on the outskirts of the city. And so I, and that's the part that, you know, people don't tend to see every day, but then I see that every day, and I understand how these people who are voting in certain ways operate and why they live their lives that way and such like that. Because when you live in a city, and a lot of media tends to show, like, you know, city life, like whether it's reality TV or scripted TV, like, they're always putting it in a city. They rarely put it in, like, a country setting. And when they do, like, they ham it up. Like, it's never, like, genuine of just, like, well, this is what country living is like.
Right, a dull moment.
Like, the small towns we be seeing is very, like, Hallmark Christmas. Not, like, the reality of what some small towns are. So it brings a lot of perspective, but it's also just, like, there's hate. There's hate in people's hearts. And, that's not the thing I like to see. So it's just nice to have a little fun moment, and nice that all the votes are being counted. Like, oh,
breaking news. He just jumped up to 264.
Oh, shit.
He
So we just waiting on Nevada.
Yeah, basically.
Michigan was not okay. We literally are talking. Things are happening, guys.
But my concern is this. So Nevada gives us 6. But they said it's not the first 270 because apparently you can get more than that per candidate or something like that. Because I see Alaska still. Go ahead.
If he gets that 270, if he gets Nevada, Trump won't have enough points to get to 270.
Oh, is that so? Let me see. Because someone else was like, they could both hit 270 and it's whoever gets. Someone else said something else, and I didn't back it up. But so Philadelphia has 20 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then North Carolina has 15. That would be 35. I feel like Trump can get to 270. That would be 35. Georgia has 16.
Mm-hmm.
45, 49, 51. That would be 51. And then Alaska. Oh dang, I lost a thing for Alaska. Stand by. let me write it down. So that would be 51 plus Alaska.
Talking in the middle. Be funny. Is this fun for you guys as listeners?
Right. So that would be 54 plus. What is he at right now? 54 plus. There we go. Plus 214. That would bring him to 268. Yo, do you know how pissed he would be if he lost by 2? He's not leaving. There's no way he's leaving the White House. There's no way.
I don't care what he think he's about to do. He's not going to be the commander-in-chief no more. They're just going to have to ragtail his behind up out of there.
Yo, it is all just up to Nevada. They're at 75% reporting. And, yo, Biden's not leading by a whole lot, but he's still leading.
That's how it's been all night and all day. Okay? I'm not. It's always been by 8,000. Just like it was always by like 100,000 when it was North Carolina. That's how it's been all night and all day. So.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just going, as long as they keeping it at that 8,000, I don't care if they win by 8,000. That's what you got to do, Nevada. That's what you got to do.
And I agree, but he's made it clear that even he was declaring victory earlier on. I don't know if you all saw on Twitter, he was declaring victory. He was like, I have big news and I'm gonna make them recount everything. And I'm just like, why don't you just graciously bow out? Oh, that's right, because you don't know how to do that. You don't know how to be gracious about anything or accept defeat, even though if we look at your businesses, you know how to re-roll bankruptcy. And what was that whole thing about not paying taxes? Oh, it's because I'm smart. I don't pay taxes because I'm smart. So everyone else who pays taxes is what? Anywho's.
All I know
what you need?
There to be a drag queen live stream for every presidential election.
I'm getting a little excited. Mandy, I think I might take a shot. Because I haven't been paying attention to it intentionally. Because I'm like, in my head, just being honest, there's someone I want to win, and I felt like the person I didn't want to win was going to win. I just was like looking at all these red states pop up. I was looking at how all these people are just openly prejudiced, racist, unkind, just kind of just crazy, like saying, oh, well, we can let our freak flags fly and just treat people any kind of way, say whatever, do whatever, be blah, 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 blah. And not saying that it's not on both sides, but it seems like it's more so from the Trump side. And so in my head, I was just like, there's just so much hate openly on display. And even all these states that I keep seeing pop up as for him, I'm like, did nothing over the last 4 years resonate with you all? Like,
I don't think it did. Because that, even if there has been hate on both sides, and I think that's part of it, is like introducing a culture or environment of hate is now permissible, where before it was like, we're looking for positive change. Like, whether people felt like they received positive change, Obama was never coming around talking about or encouraging violence or aggression or anything like that. Hello. Like, even for people who speak on safety or family values, you would want those family values to incorporate like harmonious living and caring for those who need it most, like the young or the sick, or you know, those who just can't care for themselves. But I don't know. I hate the election. I really do. This is why I had to take it with a puff of this, a shot of that, and some drag queens, because it could just get really dark really fast. And like you said, like the moments of hope and optimism are still like so funky. None of it is like just a spring. None of it is like a walk in the park. None of it is a skip in the fields. None of it is like that. It's just like a little moment of fresh air before you got to go back underwater and try and swim, 8 miles?
Right. Like, that's a good analogy. It reminds me of when you're making your way to the top of the roller coaster, but it's like you still got a drop coming up. It's like, yeah, we made it to the top, but now we're about to drop and do some loop-de-loops. So, ooh, that was... Listen up, guys. Breaking news. You heard it here first. Well, probably you heard it in real life.
It's going to be mad late. But we heard it here first. You're going to be like, that's old news. By the time this come out, and it's going to be, if it looks like, that's what I really meant to say. If by the time this episode comes out, the world looks like a zombie apocalypse movie. It was nice talking to you.
No. Speaking of that, did you see those Trump supporters out there in those purge masks? They were out there playing, not shoot 'em up, duck 'em up. They were playing rough 'em up with Black Lives Matter supporters. And they were wearing those purge masks, the ones with like the neon faces on them, so you couldn't identify them. And things like that really make me nervous when people feel like they can just run amok in general. But on top of that, I have this anonymity and
that's the word.
Hey, I said that right. I have this and it protects me from being called out, from being doxxed, from being fired. And it's just like, no, if you think what you're doing is right, if you think what you're doing is just and moral, then show your damn face.
Right? But we talked about that off the podcast too. How the purge, the concept of the purge, saying all crime is legal and somehow the majority of crime that they convince y'all to do is violence and killing each other. I'd be like, you see how the rich be manipulating shit? Like in the purge movies, the rich are already rounding up the poor folks to kill. But it's like, this is your opportunity to maybe steal from the rich or maybe just commit some sort of hackers crime or anything like that, because they say all crime including murder is legal, which means if I happen to murder somebody, I know I won't go to jail, but also if I happen to steal $8 million,
right,
that would be beneficial to me. But no, all we do is watch a bunch of minority people get killed for however many seasons and movies.
You know, I didn't think about that point until you brought it up. And I don't think I've seen maybe I saw The Purge Election Day. I don't know if that was the last one or not. I know I'm missing one out of the series. But I say that to say, I don't think that's been brought up in any of the series. It's always kill or be killed or hide out. At least I can't remember. Maybe it's the one I didn't see. But I can't remember someone saying, hey, instead of going on a killing spree, let's go on a hacking spree.
Yeah, I haven't watched the last movie, which was the first Purge. So I haven't seen that one to see if maybe some people thought that's what they were going to do. And then they ended up having to run for their lives because folks were trying to murder them the whole night. But they definitely make a point of commenting on like how it affects poor people and minority people. Like that's the whole thing of the second movie and the third movie that it targets those who are already disenfranchised. Like they literally be selling themselves or like working to wrangle up folks for the rich people to kill.
Right.
And they incorporate it in the religion and Like, the way folks talk about Handmaid's Tale looking like the way the world is turning, I'm like, is that mixed with The Purge? It's going to be all the above. It's just a hot mess.
I haven't given Handmaid's Tale a try. I feel like I'm going to be triggered by it just from what I hear. And it's like, I want to be able to view it as something artistic or something. Like, if I like futuristic things or things that are like kind of predictive programming or like, oh, 10 years, you remember 10 years ago, the show came out and it was showing everything that's happening now. Like, I like things like that, but I feel like the traumatizing parts might just kind of turn me off.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you able to elaborate on your This Is a Safe Space? I know I kind of took over election talk.
I mean, I switched my meat and potatoes to that, and my meat and potatoes was just how I watched the drag queen live stream. So,
okay.
Yep.
All right. So I guess it's time for my meat and potatoes.
Wait, no, we got to go into meat and potatoes. That was my This Is a Safe Space because I switched it. Okay, so now we're in meat and potatoes.
Okay, I'm going to pivot. I feel like I always have a relationship-esque question during every episode. I don't always ask it, but more often than not, I do. And this episode is no different. So I want to ask you, Mandy, do you feel like there is really someone for everyone? Like, your ideal, not necessarily perfect, but your great fit is out there somewhere in the world. You just have to find them.
So first, I'm going to say no so that I answer your question.
Okay.
And second, it's interesting that you would ask that because yesterday I started watching this show called Soulmates that basically alludes to that concept. And what happens is there's a test. This it's in the future, like the 2030s or 2040s or something. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, like that. And people can take a test that will tell that if their perfect person has also taken the test, will tell them who their soulmate is.
Sounds like an episode of Black Mirror.
It's very Black Mirror-ish, but less. It's a less violent Black Mirror or less like
okay.
chaotic Black Mirror.
Okay.
Is if Black Mirror was just focusing on love and relationships, I guess, instead of like the chaos of a technology life. But yes, it's very like subdued Black Mirror. Okay. Anywho. But the thing that I found in most of it is like even when I think people are more attracted to the idea of there being a perfect person for them. Mm-hmm. And they put so much like energy into making that work because they're like, this should work. And even if they've already been in a lot of times it was like folks that were already in marriages or in relationships and they were feeling maybe like a little bit of a tug, like this isn't really working or I've just been so curious about this other thing. Like if there is someone that's out there that's perfect for me, then it wouldn't, you know, it would look like this and blah, 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 blah. So folks took the test and then they found their soulmate and then they still found themselves like curious or longing or for that other relationship that they could have had. Mm-hmm. Or they've been manipulated by the fact that they found their soulmate when in actuality, that's not what they found. Mm-hmm. But it was like an interesting show. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone, but if you happen to stumble upon it, you might like it. It was just something for me to view.
What network was it on?
It is on AMC.
Oh, I'm not going to stumble upon that. Okay. Can I ask you why you don't believe that there's someone out there for everyone? Or do you know why you don't believe?
I think that all relationships require work. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, you don't feel this way, but a lot of people tend to put more energy in like accepting and or stabilizing or just living in their like family and familial relationships because of like history and nostalgia. Is also like a lot of times happens with friendships where it's like we may no longer have anything in common, but we have all this history and time together where we want to be around each other, that type of thing. Or like with your family, they're like, you're my blood and blah 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 blah, mm-hmm. and I want to make this work. And a lot of times people don't feel that way with relationships, or they hold some sort of like special idea of relationships in their head where it's like it should be like this, and it's like no relationships are like anything. Every relationship is gonna experience its own unique set of things, because even though something may be familiar, like communication issues or financial issues, it's always gonna be unique to the two people experiencing it, those certain circumstances. So it's just about the like willingness that you have to see if it can work with that particular person. Like, do the values and everything match up? Okay, now are you guys willing to face whatever experiences you have together?
That's a really good point, because, and I've been guilty of this, comparing yourself or your partner to a previous relationship isn't going to be helpful. I've been asked something along those lines before too, where it's like, did your previous boyfriends feel any kind of way about your thoughts about blah, blah, blah? And I'm just like, I'm worried about the relationship I'm in now, not what my previous boyfriend thought or how my previous boyfriend managed ABCDEFG. So that's a really good point and reminder to make, is that I'm every two, or depending on however many people are in your relationship, every relationship is going to be different and unique to the people in it. So that I do agree with. I think we talked about on the podcast before this belief system, and I don't know where it originated from, but it's the whole you have three real loves in your lifetime. And I believe I told you, I think I missed like all of them and whatnot.
So do you think you missed them?
Not miss them, but like, I think I've already had them all.
Oh, I was about to say girl.
Hold on, what you mean you was about to say girl?
I was about to say out of...
Calm down.
Out of the two of us, what did I say?
Oh, I thought she was about to say a number.
No, out of the two of us, you've definitely experienced more than one great love. Like, I've only had one.
That's by choice, though.
Maybe.
Definitely.
I wouldn't say definitely. Like, I do agree that I probably did not give other people as much time as I gave this one person. Mm-hmm. I do not know that I would have ever gotten to love with those people, though. That's the thing that I also tend to do. If I'm like, if I don't see any form of growth in it, I'm not like, but there's potential for growth. I'm just like, no. Like, wait. When you plant seeds, they all have potential to grow. If I see one of them growing, but others don't grow, and I'm doing all the things that need to be done for it to grow, I'm not going to keep convincing myself that seed will grow. But it just might not.
What if it needs more work? What if it needs extra care, extra water, extra effort to start sprouting?
Okay. What if it's past the season that it was supposed to grow in?
Then what if you wait till next season when it has another chance to be in the correct environment?
So I'm not, to me, if there are plants, if I have a plant, mm-hmm. and I'm putting in all the effort and it doesn't grow in its season, I'm not going to carry that plant into next season. I'm only going to carry something into the next season that showed growth. Like, if there's a plant and wintertime is coming and it's showing growth and I need to put it in a potted plant and take it in the house, mm-hmm. for the winter so it can survive, because mm-hmm. it won't do well in the cold, then that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. If I have a patch of dirt that never really grew and it's wintertime. I'm not going to carry over that patch of dirt inside and be like, all right, next year you're going to become a plant. Mm. No, I'm going to let it go. And it doesn't make sense to me to let a whole nother season go by. Like, oh, I'm going to leave that over there. I'm not going to talk to it. Next time planting season come, though, I'm going to try again with that one plant. I don't feel like doing that with people, especially if I feel like everything fit as it should. Mm. If everything was happening as it should and it still didn't work out, I don't have a reason to think it'll work out later if everything should have worked out. You know what I mean? Like, I have not been someone that's like holding on to my relationships of the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me either.
I tend not to be past. Friendly. Yeah, but no, I tend to be like friendly with folks I used to date, and I think that
I don't do that.
They think that means there's like an open door policy, right? And I'm like, no, that's not what this is. I'm very clearly could see that like this wasn't gonna work out. I don't want you back. I don't want to say it and laugh because it's not funny, but I don't want you back. Mm-hmm. I want a healthy plant. So for me, it's more like,
well, I have a question, if I could, an interjection, mm-hmm. if I may. What if they come back and they're like, oh, I was wilted before, but I worked on myself and now I'm blooming.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still like, nah, because I saw your roots were unhealthy? Or are you like, okay, I see you've gotten yourself together, plant. Let me try to water you now.
I would say I'm happy that the plant was warded and cared for, and they should stay in the environment where it was healthy for them.
That's a good point. Stay in the environment where it was healthy for you. That's a good point.
Like, I want to be one of those people that believed in, you know, that star-crossed lovers or whatever, but Romeo and Juliet died. Mm. Or I want to be like, so many things will happen and we'll get back together. But in The Notebook, you know, the person that she was going to marry was a very nice man.
Yeah.
And her life still could have ended up with a very strong love if she had devoted to that person. And I'm not saying I don't like Noah and Allie together, but Allie and James Marsden character also could have been happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a thing people are just like, oh, I got to hold on to this other thing because my feelings are so strong for that person. But yes, but the mess is also strong. Like, the toxicity that comes in this relationship is also strong.
Mm-hmm.
Not Allie and Noah specifically, right. But, you know, spoilers for The Notebook. But what tends to happen, like, we don't tend to be living fairy tale lives. Like, we tend to have, like, a lot of shit mm-hmm. in the relationships that we're in.
Yeah.
It's just usually how it breaks up. Or you just together for so long that it feels like an obligation, but you're not actually happy in it. It's not growing. And I've just always said, like, to quote Tyler Perry, I can do bad all by myself.
Right.
But I can also, so if I feel like I'm in a situation that's a mess, I don't need my mess and someone else's mess. Right. I'd rather remove myself and focus on my mess. Then when we've removed ourselves and we've both gotten good, do we want to get back together now that we're both happy and clean? Like, no, clearly that relationship was also creating this, like, burden where both parties didn't feel like, I don't know if they couldn't stand up on their own two feet or if they were just so bogged down in the relationship that they couldn't see the other areas for improvement and growth. But I'm like, if we both doing better without each other, that is a sign, fam.
I have a question. I wrote it down, thankfully. You said that, and I agree with you, that all relationships have their own mess or have their own shit. But do you think there are relationships out there, like, not necessarily like the ones we see on TV, because we know how TV and media and social media can be manipulated, or how some people put on a front for their viewers or for their followers. But do you think there are relationships out there where it's like things are peaceful, like everything's all good? Like, we know all relationships have shit, but are there relationships out there where it's like that's not a problem, because I care about what you have to say, and I care about your boundaries, and I care about what you need to grow and thrive in this relationship. Do those really exist?
I think that even though we talked mad shit about them with the whole entanglement mess, throughout the entanglement period, and that very well could have just been because they wanted to save face and create this Hollywood image of happy home. Mm-hmm. But now that it's all aired out,
right,
Will and Jada are still like, this is my family.
Right.
And I'm sticking by them and I'm showing them support. And I will jones on them about the entanglement shit, but I'm also going to support them.
Right.
And to me, even though it may not be the type of relationship I would immediately want, I can appreciate that they found a situation that works for them and that they care about each other above all, in terms of like, now they're willing to admit, I could not give my wife everything that she needed. I could not give my husband everything that he needed. Mm-hmm. And we were okay with doing what we had to do so that the other person could be happy. And now we're happy.
Right. They're happy together. How do you feel about people who are like, I want you to do what you need to do so you can be happy, but outside of this relationship, like, I understand things aren't going well, and instead of fixing what's wrong, you go off and be happy. How does that work out?
Like, they want to stay in a relationship, but they want me to just deal with my upsetness on my own?
No, the opposite. Like, I know that there's something that I could change because you're unhappy, but instead of doing that, I want you to go find happiness outside of it. Even though I love you and I care about you and I want to be with you, but I'm not going to do what I need to do to make sure that, you know, not necessarily that you're happy, because you have to find your own level of happiness. I get that. But to maintain this relationship.
I wish somebody would do that. Most of the time, really? I feel like I'm the one doing that in the relationship.
Really?
I wish guys would do that more. Guys be like, I know the situation is toxic, but I like you, so I don't want you to leave. Like, they'd be like, I don't care to recognize the toxicness. They just be so focused on what, like, well, I won't just say guys, but that's who I date. So they just be like, I mean, it's the, you know, people can be toxic on both sides. But yeah, like, I felt like that's how it was with my ex. He knew I was unhappy. He knew what I was asking him for, because it was the same things I'd been asking him for throughout the relationship. Mm-hmm. And whenever we broke up, he would put on the image like, okay, I'm gonna do it. And then as soon as we get back together, it would go right back into the same foolishness. And he did say something one time where it was like, you're the one with the problem. Whoa. So then I was just like,
whoa, this is news to me. Breaking news.
I mean, I can't say that that was verbatim what he said, but it was something to that effect. It was something to be like, you're the one that's like, that has an issue. I don't have an issue with how things are.
I hate that.
And I was just like, yeah. Like, that hit me while I'm like, yeah, I am the one with the problem. You're getting everything that you want out of this. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you I need something and you're not giving it to me because you're satisfied with how things are. I'm going to remove myself from the situation. I feel like a lot of times I'd be asking guys to be like, leave me alone because you can't give me what I want. And they'd be like, nope, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm just going to keep coming around, knocking on that door, giving you little glimpses of what you want and not giving you the full package. And I'm like, now I'm just at the point where I'm like, especially like in Corona, it's so weird to me for people to be coming back around and thinking that even if they have like improved themselves, I'm like, yo, I'm so happy for you. I'm happy that you found peace within yourself and don't feel like you have to put on for other people or embellish. Or I'm happy for those who have like found new employment and are more financially stable. I'm happy for those who have experienced real trauma and like shit in 2020 and have come out the other side and are really working on themselves emotionally to be stable. And I support all of them through it, but I'm also like, the fundamentals of why I've ever stopped dating someone has never been financials. Mm-hmm. It's never been me not supporting them through emotional shit. Mm-hmm. Those are not the issues in the relationship. It's someone who is equally invested, mm-hmm. at least for me, in making the relationship. For me, I have not found someone who wants the same things out of life, mm-hmm. and in a relationship that I want, and is willing to put in the effort for us to both have those things. I have not found that in someone, and I don't want anything else.
Hmm. So is that like your hard line or your bottom line is like, this person has to want exactly what I want?
It doesn't have to be exactly, but I haven't even gotten to that point of really getting to know if this person holds all of the same values that I want, because I feel like I'm often being like pushed to an arm's length type of energy. I don't be worried about it anymore. Or like, that's not true. There are people who wanted everything that they could probably get from me, but I was just like, yeah, but we don't want the same things. Mm. Or I don't feel strongly about you. There's things that you say that I don't like, that I don't agree with, that I don't think I could live with forever.
Mm. Live with forever. There's something else you said. I don't remember exactly what. I think it's the fact that we brought up the whole open door, and sometimes your exes feel like maybe that means they still have a chance or that you're still in contact with them. And I feel like it's a semi-revelation during the conversation. Maybe that's another reason why I hold on, because when I'm done, I'm done. Like, and it's it, like, when I get to the point where it's like, I'm done and I've moved away and I blocked numbers and I changed this and I changed that, I'm done for good. So it's like, if I'm going to be done for good, I want to make sure I'm done, because there is no Ollie talks to her exes, or they see, think the door is open, or they even know she's alive. Like, that's not an option for me. So.
But to me, I think if there was any person that I've had a toxic situation with, I definitely don't be like, oh yeah, you can just come around and talk to me whenever you feel like right. it. But to me, it is important to say, just because I've chosen to have a friendship with you, because we don't have to have a friendship.
Right.
But I've chosen to have a friendship. You seemingly have chosen to have a friendship. You're going to understand there are boundaries on this. Like, I'm not just saying I don't want to hook up or kiss or whatever just because, like, I don't even understand why people be asking, like, why dudes be asking for it, why they be trying to hit, besides just like general horniness. Like, that's the only thing that I can think of. I actually it's funny you brought this up, because I wasn't going to say anything about it, but I basically had that conversation with my ex. I don't know if we're going to be friends anymore, because he just said some shit like that, that was like, you know, basically like alluding to like sexual stuff. And in my mind, I'm like, we have been broken up for years.
Years.
Years. And
where's the time going?
I don't know where it's been for you, but I'm very much aware of
this. I mean, I believe you, but
we've been broken up for years. I feel like I've been very clear in it being a friendship. Mm-hmm. How we ended up communicating again to create this friendship. I don't think I've done anything to blur the lines. And you trying me continuously on a sexual thing doesn't feel like you respect me as a friend. Like, you are, it feels like you are mainly seeing me as a sexual object,
right, object
that you can try when you feel like it. And so I told him, I was like, I don't think we can be friends. Then it's immediately like, oh, I'm sorry, I take it back, I didn't mean it, blah, blah, blah. You've said things like this before.
Oh, so this isn't like the first time.
Like, he says things to the effect like, either creating like a sexual energy or just like implying that he wants to get back together. But I'm like, you do not. You appreciate me because I'm familiar, maybe, but nothing about the aspects of why we broke up have changed. So you are only saying these things to, honestly, it feels like you're just saying them because you're horny or because you're bored. And that feels disrespectful to me when I'm trying to be your friend. If you don't, like, if you wouldn't talk to your other friends like that, and if that's how you feel like you want to talk to me, then we don't need to be friends.
I have used that example for sure. Where I'm like, you, ooh, 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 the sneeze not coming out. Sorry.
Okay.
Where I'm like, okay, do you talk to your other female friends like this? Do you ask your other female friends to do this? Because if we're strictly friends, then that's what this is. Do you do this with your other female friends? No, I would never. Okay, well, you need to understand that now we are just friends. So you can't talk to me how you like, you used to talk to me. Can't talk to me like you want to talk to me. Can't grab on me. Can't do any of that stuff because you and I are just friends at this point. So that's disconcerting to hear. And I'm not sure which ex this is, but if it's the ex that you've been there for recently, then I wonder if maybe, some support is getting misconstrued or received incorrectly on his end. That's what I'm wondering.
I don't think that's the case, but he about to learn otherwise because he about to mess up the friendship.
Does it feel like to you, though, it is just jokey, though? Like, does it feel like, oh, he's just messing around? Does it feel like, okay, this is too much? Like, no, that's it, last time.
It feels like
you being tried for real.
Yeah, it feels like I'm just like, what am I putting energy into maintaining a friendship for? It feels like the same way I was putting energy into maintaining a relationship on my own. Mm-hmm. That now, not that he hasn't shown good friendship qualities, but he trying me in a way that's not friendly. So now I'm putting forth energy to respect the friendship that he's not respecting. So it's just like, all right, well, if I have to create another boundary of now we don't talk. It's not me just being like, I don't know, doing the most or hating. It's just like, I have to do this for myself. Because right. I'm not about to start no tomfoolery with nobody.
Right. Which is your prerogative, and you're right. So, if they can't get it together, then vamanos, I suppose. All right. So, what's on your plate for your meat and potatoes?
So, my meat and potatoes, which was originally going to be my This Is a Safe Space, is I want to talk about the truth about podcasting. And when I say the truth about podcasting, I mean, like, the not shiny parts. Like, the fact that some days I just be like, why do I have a podcast? Why do I do this? This, you know, for over a year, we've been pretty consistent in providing weekly content. And it probably hit me again this week because for the majority of 2020, we've been fortunate to not have to edit our own podcast. We've been working with the Robinson Sound. And this weekend I had to edit, or this past week I had to edit again. And it, you know, I did it. As far as I know, the episode came out and it was fine. But I'm already like, we'll have moments when I'm struggling to just take the hour or 2 hours it takes to record the podcast. Mm-hmm. Ollie does a majority of, and when I say majority, I mean like 98% of the social media and just like distribution, advertisement, engagement, content stuff. We don't have a bunch of listeners. I would say we only got 5. I would be like, stop trying us and our listeners. But that's how it feels. Like, we have 3 people listening, 5 people listening.
Our audience size is more than that.
And we don't make any money off of it. It's definitely something that like I found an interest in. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying I never want to do it anymore, but sometimes because we are so consistent, I just be like, ain't nobody gonna notice if we don't do it.
Oh my gosh.
Ridiculous. That's how we feel it. Or I don't, the other thing about it is right now, of the goals that I have set, mm-hmm. none of them involve anything that I feel like would directly benefit me in the podcast from being a lot of people who do things like this, maybe have an additional business that they want to promote mm-hmm. or topics that they care deeply for that they want to speak to regularly. Mm-hmm. Like when people make history, they love history and they talk about history podcasts or mm-hmm. how I love movies. Like mm-hmm. this isn't a movie podcast. This isn't a television podcast. So it's not even like the things that I feel so strongly for mm-hmm. I'm engaging in all the time. I don't have, like, I have aspirations for certain things that are involved in the media, but even if I achieve and practice those things, I don't necessarily want to be someone who's a public figure. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I just do this and I'm like, I enjoy doing it, but also, why am I doing it? Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. It sucks to feel that way. I've definitely felt that way before where I'm like, I don't, and I think I talked about this when I was talking about sponsors, where I'm like, I don't see this growing as I thought it would have grown by now. Or, I mean, you did try us with the audience size. Our audience size is bigger than that, you guys. But she's right, where it's like, if we missed an episode, would you guys really notice? I feel like 2 people would probably write us and be like, yo, where's this week's episode? But everyone else is, you know, into their own thing, or maybe something that's more streamlined or has more support and yada yada yada. So I get it. Or some days where it's like, maybe you don't want to record, and we've, you know, come to a consensus with that before, where it's like, all right, well, let's skip this week. Or even more importantly, like you said, the podcast or this way of reaching out to people, recording our thoughts, entertaining people, keeping people informed might not align with our goals for right now. So I completely understand how you're feeling. I understand exactly what you're saying. Do you feel like this is something where you want some solutions? Because I wrote down what you said and I wrote down some things. Or do you feel like this is something you eventually have to like get over? Or do you feel like maybe now is not the time for you to be potting? Like, what are you feeling in regards to resolution?
I think that someone I know was like trying to do things to show support, literally investing in me and in us and doing the podcast even. And I was just like, dang, even though I don't feel inspired to do it sometimes, there are people that are invested in it to the point where they're trying to invest in us. Mm-hmm. So for now, until I can get it maybe aligned with other goals I have or other things that I want to do. Like, the reality is, I ain't got no... It's, again, it's 2020. I'm at home anyways. Yes, I'm in school, but I don't have much else going on. I don't have any kids. I don't have a boyfriend or a man's or whatever. I might as well keep going, and then who knows what could happen.
All right. This is what I'm feeling like, or this is what my brain wrote down solutions. Like, maybe, one, we do need a new segment. Like, we should probably, if we can, or you are always watching TV or movies, so there's, I'm sure I can find, like, an hour or two to dedicate to something you've watched, and we talk about it. I feel like that would help in our social media engagement, that would help in conversations, that would help in our Twitter, and it would help you stay, like, excited, like, oh, I watched this and now we get to talk about it because she also knows what I'm talking about. So I feel like that would be helpful. I drafted that sponsorship letter and it's like I sent it out to maybe 20 people and I never visited it again. So maybe I need to dig that up, reach out to some more sponsorships, and I'm fine with pivoting and doing things and talking about topics that are more enjoyable to us. Like, I know we were supposed to, and I feel like now we're just like talking like we're not recording, but I know we were supposed to have that meeting where we, after our hiatus, where we revisit everything and talk about changes and stuff we want to see. And it's kind of like we just picked up the ball and kept it rolling again. So like, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not married to any of these segments. And if it gives me something else to watch and talk about, like, I'm okay with that too. I want you to stay interested because I feel like maybe a month or so ago, I kind of was feeling like, well, why are we still doing the podcast? I don't remember what I was going through at that time. I'm always going through stuff. But at that time, I was just like, I don't know if this is a good use of our time. But the what I came out of that feeling was, this is kind of like we've been consistent, like you said, we've been so consistent, and I feel like what we had and have to say is important. We give two very different perspectives, and it's current events, past events, relatable things, unrelatable things, bringing stuff to the forefront, letting everybody know about Corona before Corona was Corona. Like,
that's true.
Breaking news. I feel like what we're doing is important, and even if it's not important to the other listeners, it's at least important to me, and I don't want to do it without you. So that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, I think prioritizing, like, us, yeah, having that meeting, maybe we have to do it in preparation for the new year,
for sure.
But really figuring out what we want the podcast to be. Because as we talk about every week in goals, like, if we're writing them down, if we're like comprehending what it is we're looking out of it, it makes it easier for us to actually put effort in to achieve that. But right now we're just like, well, we got a podcast. I guess we gotta release a podcast every week and that's
right. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. We don't have any joint goals for the podcast, so that would definitely give us something to work on individually. So I am definitely writing that down.
Yeah, because technically the things that we had set up in terms of goals for the podcast, we've achieved. It just doesn't look like what we thought it would look like, as we said. And I don't even know if I thought we would get there in the first year or not. I think at the time, I wasn't really worried about it as much. I was just enjoying the experience.
Right.
But now it's different. It's a lot of other things going on in the world and in life. And prioritizing the podcast sometimes just feels like an extra chore as opposed to like an escape or...
Right. Especially when you have to edit it.
And it wasn't even that bad, but it was just like, oh,
I forgot about this.
Like, I literally was trying, I forgot so much.
Yeah. We definitely I don't feel like we're spoiled, but we definitely got spoiled with Robinson Sound editing our stuff every week. Mm-hmm. So shout out to you, Robinson Sound. Yeah, making it sound
better. Again, I was afraid to even like re-listen to last week. Some y'all tell us, like, does it sound noticeably different? Because if it does, Robinson Sound, come back.
I listened to it. It was good to me. I feel like you don't listen to them like I do. Like, after it's done.
Sometimes I do. When I was editing, I definitely did not. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I edited this one, I did not.
Right. That makes sense, though, because I'm not trying to hear it like 10 times. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. I listened to it. It was good. The transitions were really good with the music, too. So, yeah. It was fine to me. Cool. I didn't write you and say anything, so.
Facts.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was my meat and potatoes. Mm-hmm. That was originally my the safe space. Okay. Are you ready for the underappreciated award?
Yes, I am.
Who's getting your underappreciated award?
All right, Mandy. My underappreciated award is going to Black Love. Real Black Love. Authentic Black Love. What's Black Love, you ask? Black Love is love between two people who are, bingo, you guessed it, get this woman a cookie, Black.
Also a television program.
What I mean by real and authentic is like not the fake stuff. I mean like the laughing moments, the happy moments, the bad moments too, but it's like we are Black people and we love each other. And as someone who has dated outside of their ethnic grouping, I feel like not that it's necessarily more important to me, but I feel like I can see the difference. I see the difference between interracial relationships and two Black people being in a relationship together, and it is different. So yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Real Black Love.
I've only ever been in relationships with Black people. I wasn't opposed to it trying something else before. I guess I'm still not opposed to it, but it might be a little bit more of a stretch now.
You think so? Why?
I think with so many things going on, again, not that there aren't Black people who would have a difference of opinion on me from me about certain things, but there's a lot that you have to like experience, like we said, in a new relationship, like kind of explaining how you feel about certain things. And yes. What I've talked about with a lot of people is that you don't have that with certain, like, with Black people in certain regards. Like, of course, there are Black people who have different experiences than others, mm-hmm. but assuming that they have a similar background to me, and in terms of like how they identify themselves and their Blackness, then that's something that I wouldn't have to explain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's definitely the most stark difference that I've had to adjust to. Well, that's not necessarily all the way true, because I've dated a Black person before too, who needed some help. So.
Right. Who's like, assuming that your Black experience was similar to mine.
Yes. Yes.
Because even in my children of immigrants life, first generation American life, it's like I had certain cultural things that weren't Black American, but I grew up as a Black American, like amongst Black American friends, mm-hmm. and television that was, you know, I watched BET, I watched 106 in Park. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to have to, if I find someone that didn't watch 106 in Park, maybe I find a Black British person, they could still have other things where I'm like, you've seen other Black television shows, because I know that those broadcast over there, or like now there's so much TV where I see like things that are British in their culture that the Black people enjoy. And I'm like, I can still feel a camaraderie to, that you understand my Blackness in a way mm-hmm. that I don't have to explain myself. Right. That's really what I'm looking for. And right. even though I could find that with a Black person, I feel like I definitely would still have to do that with any other race, even if they grew up mm-hmm. In an environment. That's kind of like what this new season of This Is Us, no spoilers for This Is Us, was when they opened up the season. It's like certain things that Randall was experiencing. Mm-hmm. He grew up in a house of white people but he was very much aware of that separation, and he never went in his Blackness to them. Mm-hmm. And even though he knew they weren't like racist or hateful or whatever, because they were his family, mm-hmm. they also didn't understand certain things that he had experienced, and they didn't extend themselves to understand certain things.
Right.
And if he didn't put pressure or create certain environments, they wouldn't have thought to do that on their own. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a little bit of a spoiler, but it's in the beginning season.
Okay.
In one of the flashbacks, Randall wanted to go to like a particular swimming pool. Mm-hmm. And the family, like the moms, they were just like, sure, but they didn't understand why. And then they realized like at that swimming pool, even though it was still like a mixed swimming pool, there were Black people there. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted to be around the other Black people. Mm-hmm. And potentially make friends with them and stuff.
Okay.
And it's like the fact that his family never considered that to be like, oh, if we go to this one pool, it's only gonna be white people here. Mm-hmm. It's like a constant thing. So once they became aware of it, they were like, of course, you know, let's try and do things or get things for Randall be around other Black kids and blah, blah, right. blah. But it's like, if there were Black people around, they wouldn't have to know that. Like, yes, mm-hmm. Black parents will sometimes put their children in environments so they can be around a mixed environment, but they're not going to be like, have to know that they also would want to be around people who look like them.
Right. Do you watch Shameless?
Yep.
Do you remember when Liam went on his I'm Black and I'm Proud shtick? It was like, I'm not coming home until these demands are met because there's no one like me in this house and yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's what that
and was. And they just all thought, we're from the South Side. We've all been poor.
Right.
Viv lives next door. You don't need anything else. And it's like, no, you don't get it.
Right. You don't get it. In addition to me being Southside and being poor, I am also Black and a man. So, well, not a man per se, but a Black man he will grow up to be. So, yeah. It's kind of like you, I won't say it's a you don't know what you don't know, because I feel like if you are of non-Black origin and you're bringing someone into your home, your life, who is a Black person, that it's on you to educate yourself, especially if they're a child. And you know what I mean? Like, you're guiding them within the world. It reminds me of these moms. There's like this group of white moms who went to this Black hair salon and was like, I'm not trying to be funny, but can you please teach me how to braid my daughter's hair? Can you teach me how to take care of my daughter's hair? She had, the women had Black daughters that they adopted, and I was like, this is very interesting. And the Black hairdresser was like, of course, like, sure, I'll show you exactly what to do. And I was like, that's very sweet, that's very nice, and I appreciate you going, not necessarily out of your way, but I appreciate you going to educate yourself instead of saying, oh, I'll just straighten her hair, oh, I'll just perm it, oh, I'll just leave it in a puffball every day. Like, it's important that as adults you do what you need to do for children who can't speak up for themselves all the time. Mm-hmm. All right.
My underappreciated award. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure.
Uh-oh.
So I literally put not sure. I feel like Aaron Burr lying in wait. So I'm just lying in wait to see What will stand out to me as something that needs acknowledgement that isn't already getting acknowledgement? Because there's a lot of things that I'd be like, oh, that's dope, or that's nice, but I think they're also probably getting a lot of credit. And I don't want to give credit to something that don't need credit. So right now, I'm not standing still. I'm lying in wait.
Okay.
And I understand that Aaron Burr was the villain in the story, but damn it if there weren't some good songs.
Oh, my goodness. So funny. All right, Mandy. Would you like to tell the listeners where they can find us? Wait, before we do that, I receive what you're saying about standing still and lying in wait. And also, I appreciate you not necessarily just, like, throwing out or wasting an underappreciated award.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Now, would you like to tell the listeners where they can find us?
Sure.
Okay.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at MNO Podcast. There you can also send us comments, slide in our DMs, but you can also send questions, comments, and concerns to Mandy and Ollie at gmail.com.
Yes.
Please be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen so that you know when we drop a new episode.
Yeah. It was really good talking to you guys. Mandy, it was good talking to you too.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye, you guys.
Bye. Bye.